This morning I want to start a little mini-series on something that's near and dear to the heart of God and to the heart of Jesus and should be in our hearts as well. But it's about serving in ministry. I want to start with a question. And this message comes through my lenses of knowing that in our church, you know, the rule normally is like 20-80, right? 20% do 80% of the work. Who's heard that before? Who's been part of that before? Who's been part of the 20% wondering where the 80% were? Okay. Now, here at our church, we've got it better than that. We're probably 70-30. Or maybe we're moving towards 60-40. But that still tells me that 30 or 40% of our members aren't in the game. I'm just wanting that to sink in. You never think about it. I think about it every week. I want you to feel a little about what I've been thinking and feeling so you can help me feel better about what I'm going to talk about today. But I want to start with this question. When it's game time, where are you? Soccer. Who's been watching the games? Okay. Where were you? Were you on the couch? I know you probably weren't in the stands. You were watching. Most people are watching games when they're played. They're not in the game making it happen. Very few are actually in the game playing and making things happen. And that's true for most sports, if not all sports. But today I want to talk about that thought in a different way, in the context, I would say a much greater context, a much more important context, and that's on the field of faith, what we call serving in ministry. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you, you must be the servant. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Then he added, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Those two words, serve and give, are at the heart of what I want to talk about today. Ministry simply means to use your God-given talents and abilities to serve God and others on the field of faith. On the wall in our church and on all of our care cards and stamped everywhere is loving God, loving people, and what? Living with purpose. And what I want to talk about today is considered living with purpose. And so in that sense, when it's game time, where are you? Are you down on the field of faith making things happen, or are you up in the stands watching from a distance, perhaps watching online? And I want to challenge that thought. I want to challenge that perspective. I believe it's God's heart that everybody would be in the game, on the field of faith, doing what they can do to love God and to love people and do the things that he's called us to do. And so look at your neighbor and tell them it's game time. Everybody, look at a neighbor and say, it's game time. And then look at your other neighbor and ask him, you got game? That's the title of my message today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for telling us in your word about the importance of serving. Not only serving you, but serving others. And doing so with a servant's heart. I pray, Lord, as I share today's message, the first part of getting the game, I pray, Lord, that I would speak your word clearly and that your Holy Spirit would tug on the hearts of people that aren't in the game and lovingly encourage them to get in the game because they will realize how important that is. I pray that you would have your way with us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and Philippians chapter 2. Remember, we're talking about serving in ministry. It's one of the five cylinders that every church should hit on in a good way, serving in ministry. We have an equip class where we go into great detail about this. I think the next one's coming up in August, on August 22nd. It's a Saturday, August 22nd. If you've never attended the equip class, would you? Everybody that's been through it, no one has ever told me it was a waste of their time, that they got something from it that helped them grow better in whatever God's calling them to do. Equip, August 22nd. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. And he, talking about Christ Jesus, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for this purpose, for the equipping of the saints, that's us collectively, believers, right? For the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. There's a few dominoes there. As Christians, we've been called to build up the body of Christ, and the way we do that is through the work of the ministry. And I love this verse because Paul's right up front, honest, work. Ministry is work. But it's a good work. It's a satisfying work because of the one we do it for and the people that it blesses. And it's a necessary work to do what we do week in and week out. But back up one verse to verse 10. It says, back up a couple of chapters in a verse. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. Listen, we're not saved by our good works, but we are saved so that we can do good works for the glory of God. Not ourselves, but for God. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. This verse says that God created us to do good works. And whether you realize it or not, you were created to make a contribution, not just to consume resources, but to give something back, to add value to other people's lives, perhaps in the process adding value to your life. And realizing how valuable your life is in the hands of God if you'll yield to Him and let Him direct you and use you for His purposes. And when we're doing good works for God and other people, it's called ministry. We were created to serve God and to serve others. That's living with purpose. Now look at Philippians chapter 2. We just talked about good works. Good works. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. That's usually why people don't serve, is because their focus is on them and not the others. Their focus is on their life and what's important to them and not God and what's important to Him. Typically, that's the reason. We're self-focused. We're not others-focused. We don't put the needs of others above our own needs. And there's times where that's perhaps understandable and appropriate, but most of the time, it's not. It's not the right heart. That's usually why people don't serve. If you keep reading in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So this means we're going to have to shift our attitude if our attitude isn't aligned with the attitude of Jesus. And can I just say that's probably true for every one of us. Every one of us could probably, if we were honest, would say, I'm a little bit out of alignment. Some of us are way out of alignment. Others are just a little bit out of alignment. But we're all out of alignment in some way when it comes to serving God and the attitude behind why we do it. Says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. You know, where I see that verse fitting is with leadership. If leadership says, no, the work is not for me, it's for everybody else, that's not the mindset of Jesus. It starts at the top. It starts with, in a church, it starts with senior leadership, and it filters all the way down to all the volunteers. And we're all called to do the same thing, is to serve God and to serve others and to do it with the right heart. Verse 7 says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's the mindset of Jesus, who was God. And he's asking us to have the same mindset when it comes to serving in ministry, serving him and serving others. And so I want to unpack this verse just a little bit. The first thing I see is, or the first word I wrote down in my notes is, if we're going to have the same mindset, the same perspective, the same attitude, we need to be humble. Humble, not prideful, humble. And so if you naturally battle pride, you're going to have to work a little bit harder at being humble. And I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm talking about a genuine humility. And that requires, listen, that requires a heart change. Without a heart change, you can act humble. But that doesn't last, and that's not consistent. There's times where we can act humble. We can show glimpses of our humility. But normally, you know, you might describe yourself as, but normally I'm on the proud side. And I'm just saying, listen, deal with that. I don't want to beat you up for it because there's times where I'm selfish and prideful. But I know what the plumb line is. The plumb line is to be humble and to be others focused and to serve God and serve others with the mindset of Christ Jesus. Another thing I see is others focused. Are you others focused? And sometimes this works to my disadvantage. Sometimes I care more about others than they care about themselves. That's hard. Servant-minded. Are you looking for ways to serve or are you looking for ways to avoid serving? It's all attitude. It's all mindset. And so I want to bring you back to the plumb line. Jesus says, I came to serve. So if you're going to follow Jesus, what do you need to do? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. If you're going to be like Jesus, what do you need to do? If you're going to have his mindset, if you're going to be a true follower, he says, get in the game and serve. That's why I came, is to serve, not to be served. Now, this isn't personal towards anybody in the church, but it's just an observation. If 30 or 40% of our members are not serving, they're swerving, they're not serving. That tells me that they don't have the mindset of Jesus. Now you might be thinking, well, Pastor, that's a little rough and tough, first service on a Sunday morning. Well, I would say the same thing at the 10:45 service. And usually it's more people in this service are the ones in the choir. Wait for second service. Those are the ones that sleep in and come late after their lattes and their, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to get to them. Who normally comes to second and you came to first today? Be glad you came to first service. I'm kind of joking, but, you know, in any kind of joking, there is some truth. And I really would like to see that 30 or 40% number go lower. Pastor Trey, what do you think? Yeah. Pastor Trey, stand up, Trey. I want people to know who you are. He spoke at our men's breakfast yesterday. Trey did. And Jessica, his wife, his great support system, as he said, told us yesterday. Huh? Yeah. But he kind of teed it up for the men yesterday, talking about we've been called to serve. And what's cool was I had decided to do this series. I gave him an invitation to preach, but we didn't really talk about topics. And that was the topic he chose, which is confirmation. I think we're on the right track. If he teed it up that way, and I'm doing a three-week series on it. This is important, and I need your help. Church, we need the help. We need you to get off the bench and into the game. We need you to come down from the stands and get in the game and help us do what God's called us to do. Obedient. It's going to require obedience. It's going to require sacrifice. Now, let me ask you, is that how you would describe your present attitude when it comes to serving God and to serving others? Right? When it comes to helping your friends move. Or serving at church. Or whatever it is. Is your attitude, oh, I'd love to help. What do you need? Or is it, you pull out your American excuse card, your Amex. You pull out your Amex card and come up with 10 reasons why you can't. That's hard. Now, there are times where you can't help them because it's just a bad date, and just say, I'd love to, but I can't. I've got a conflict. Now, if they say, when would you be available? That's where the rubber meets the road. And then you tell them, I'm available this and I can help you for 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours. I have half. You know, you get to pick your boundaries, but do something versus nothing, right? If you have the heart of Jesus, the mindset of Jesus. So I want to share with you this morning what I would call the profile of a servant. Here's how you can tell if you or someone else has a servant's heart or a selfish heart. If you're taking notes, here's number one. Real servants make themselves available to serve. They make themselves available. They don't wait for someone to call them and ask them. They know, hey, I'm on the bench. I'm not in the game. I need to be. You call the church office or you call me or you call one of our leaders and say, hey, I'm not in the game, but I need to be in the game. I want to be in the game. What's the next step? They make themselves available to serve. Listen, I'll take availability over ability. It's like a can of paint. You go buy $100 can. Can you still buy paint for $100? A good paint, right? You go buy $100 can of paint. Are you just going to let it sit on the shelf and do nothing with it? Or are you going to open the lid and let that paint come out and make a difference in whatever you bought the paint for? Real servants do what's needed, even if it's not convenient. And they go beyond what's expected. They give a little bit more than what's expected of them. A little 1% better, a little 1% more. Now, let me say this. I'm really proud of all the leaders in our church that are living this out. And they're throughout the whole church. They're throughout all of our ministries. I just made a list. The glitter team. Glitter ladies, stand up. Glitter. If you're part of the glitter ministry, stand up. Yeah. 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 Listen. How often do the glitter ladies come up here to serve, volunteer, during the week, a month? A year. It seems like every month the ladies are coming up here to do something. And I just want to say thank you, ladies. And the men. I like the men getting involved in Bible studies and helping out with the ladies' events. I mentioned the worship team. You know, the worship team comes every Tuesday night for 2 hours to practice, and then they come every Sunday for 4 hours to play. Week in, week out, week in and week out. If you're on the worship team or the tech team, stand up. Now listen. You're saying, well, why is that a big deal? We would not have worship this morning if it wasn't for people like that. You wouldn't have been greeted had there not been people at the doors to greet you. There would be nobody watching your kids while you're sitting in here enjoying the sermon and the service. They're back there with your kids, okay? That can't happen. We can't have church without workers to do the work of the ministry. So for those that are involved and you're in the game, thank you. Thank you. Who got a get in the game card when you came in? Who didn't get one? Raise your hand if you didn't get one. Everybody got one? Huh? Now, here's what I want you to do with this, and I'm going to talk more about it in a minute. If you're already in the game on a team serving currently, not, oh, I used to, I'm not now, this card's for you. or I've never, this card's for you. But if you're currently on a team serving in a game, I just want you to take this blank card and return it to the basket at the Welcome Center. Are they going to be at the Welcome Center or the door? At the door. We're going to have a basket, card basket at the door. Just drop off your blank card. If you're already in the game, drop off your blank card in the basket. If you're not in the game and you're able, because you're here at church, so you're able, I want you to fill this card out and check some of the interest on here that you want to be involved in. Turn it in, and one of our staff people will be calling you to say, hey, we want to help you get in the game. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that number went up to 80%, and now we have 80% doing 100% of the work instead of 60 or 70%. Can you imagine we can have a deeper bench in all of our ministries and you don't get burned out? You know, my heart goes out to these leaders that have been serving 10 and 12 years without a break, and we got 30% of our members still on the sideline while they're hashing it out. If you're a coach on a team, wouldn't that bug you? Huh? Wouldn't you try to get your other players that aren't as involved more involved for the sake of the team? So, that's point number one. Real servants make themselves available. Number two, real servants do their best with what they have. In fact, that's my definition of excellence. Excellence is giving God your very best with what you have to give him. And so at different churches, that's going to look differently. In different people's lives, that's going to look differently. But you're still going to give it your best. Don't procrastinate. You know, so this is something else that bugs me. And you may not ever change. I just want you to know what bugs me. Just so you won't do it around me. What bugs me is when somebody says, that's good enough. That's good enough. We're talking about giving it to God and God's people that Jesus died for. Let's give it our best. Let's give it our best. Now, sometimes because of limited resources, you know, maybe we could have given it better had we had more to work with. But I said, do your best with what you have to work with. And if you got a $100 budget, do your best with that. If you got a $1,000 budget, do your best with that. But give God your best. Point number three, real servants are faithful to their ministry. They're faithful. They show up. They don't call in at the last minute and say, I can't make it. They show up anyway. They keep their promises and commitments. They don't leave a job half done. They don't quit when they get discouraged. Who's thought about quitting? Yeah, my hand's up too. We got to encourage each other to stay in the game, to stay in the fight. They take responsibility for their mistakes. They don't play the blame game. That's another game we play. They don't put their team or department in jeopardy or in a bad light. Now, again, I'm going to tell you, we have a lot of leaders in our church that are doing it the right way. And I say, thank you. We just need more people doing it the right way. And then number four, real servants understand customer service. They understand that first impressions can be lasting impressions. They realize that the first 5 or 10 minutes of a new person's visit, they're already thinking whether they're going to come back again. So we need to make the first 5 or 10 minutes enjoyable and pleasant and Christ-honoring to them. And one of the ways that's done is by being friendly and smiley and greeting them warmly and letting them know, hey, you're welcomed here. You know, I get little articles all the time because I'm in the pastoring business about how can you improve traffic, how can you improve the return rate of guests that first came and then they come back and whatnot. And they're saying this is the key to that, is the first 5 or 10 minutes, they're already deciding, is this a friendly church? That's why we wave them in at the top of the hill. And they come down the long drive and they see people here at the doors. Every door's covered. The lobby's covered. The welcome center's covered. A lot of friendly people in our church to make other people feel welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Don't ever stop doing that. We just need more people to build our bench stronger so we have more people doing what we're already doing well. I don't want my long-term guys getting burned out and quitting because they don't have enough help. And so we're going to take these cards and we're going to try to build up our team so that we have a happy house. And if you didn't turn in a card, I'm going to be calling you, or somebody's going to be calling you and say, hey, we need your help. Would you fill out a card and turn it in? It's just easier if you'll fill it out, turn it in while you're at church. I don't have to chase you down. And then we'll have somebody call you and say, hey, where are you interested in serving? They understand that most people like good service and no one likes bad service. They understand that good service means they may come back, and when souls are at stake, that's important. And so my hope and desire for Generations Church is that we would have a reputation. We would be known for how much we love God and love people. We're moving in that direction. But we can move a little bit closer, can't we? Can I hear a big amen? Amen? And so what do you hear God saying to you? If you have that serving card and you're not in the game, would you look down that list and check one or two or more boxes with your name on it and turn it in the basket? Who's the basket person? Huh? Brent? Are you the basket man? You have those Meta glasses on that take a picture of everybody that leaves a card and doesn't? Good, okay. You know, this is normally not a sermon that I would preach. Normally I'm preaching more about Jesus, but this is a need in our church and I needed to address it before it gets worse. We need to turn the boat around, the ship around, and I need people that aren't in the game to get in the game to help us do what God's called us to do. And so look at that card. Say, God, where is it that you want to use me? And then we'll have a conversation. There may be some reasons why you can't do it right away. We'll work with you. We're very flexible. Very appreciative. But listen, if I don't tell you what the need is, how do I expect it to get met? I'm telling our church family, our church has this need. Would you help meet it? Can I hear a big amen? Would you bow your heads? I want to talk to those for a moment. Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I want to talk to those for a moment who haven't surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Because that's the first thing you should do before you serve. Because if you don't have the motivation to love God, and this is part of loving God, if you don't have a reason to love God, you won't do what I've talked about. But if you know God, if you know that Jesus has saved your life for eternity, and the question is, what can I do in return to serve Him and to show my gratitude? This is one way to do that. And just look down that card and check a few boxes and turn it in, and we will reach out to you. But for unbelievers, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is who He said He is and did what He said He did, what the Bible says He did for you and me. If you believe that, you will be saved. And so if that's you, if you're watching online or in the house with us today, if you've not first gotten in the game or on the field with Jesus, You're not even on Team Jesus yet. You need to get on Team Jesus first. If today's your day to join Team Jesus, would you just lift your hand up? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I just want to pray for you. And this will be the beginning of your faith journey. Anybody? Okay. Well, Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today about getting in the game, getting in ministry, to do the things that you've called us to do. You've called us to do good works, and we want to do that. And so, Holy Spirit, would you help us accomplish what God's will is for our church? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're gonna finish with a worship song, but I want you to stand. Let's worship. I'm going to be available if you still need prayer. I'll be available down here. I love you. Have a great week, and I'll see you next Sunday.